Hi, I'm Malcolm Hawker, and this is the CDO Matters podcast, the show where I dig deep into the strategic insights, best practices, and practical recommendations that modern data leaders need to help their organizations become truly data-driven. Tune in for thought-provoking discussions with data, IT, and business leaders to learn about the CDO matters that are top of mind for today's chief data officers. Your speaker, your presenter today on all things MDM. If you came to learn about mobile device management, you're in the wrong place. Today, we're going to be talking about data, master data management. We're going to give it a few minutes for people to kind of slowly trickle into the stream. I'll just banter a bit. I'll rant a bit. Where's everybody calling in from? Where's everybody logging in from? Where is everybody visiting from? If you're on the live stream on LinkedIn, say hello. If you're on the live stream through our recording platform, which is Goldcast, say hello. Let us know where you are coming from today. I am coming to you from the wintry locale of the East Coast of Florida, where today it's in the 50s. I know, giant violin for me, boo-hoo. But we had to turn on our heater, which is a big deal here for us on the East Coast of Florida. Well, north of us, they actually got a ton of snow in the Florida Panhandle. That's a long way from where we are here on the East Coast, but still a little chilly. And I know that your heart goes out to me for having to actually turn on our heater. It's a big momentous day here in the Hawker household. But that's where I am joining you today from, which is my little studio, my little den here in my little beach house. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season. Hope everybody had a wonderful start to 2025. We're going to talk about the year that was 2024 in terms of our beloved MDM. Guys, this is an interactive event. If you've got questions, drop them into LinkedIn, which let me reload my event page. See if I can actually see comments coming through on LinkedIn. Yeah, I can. How exciting. Hey, yay. And I've remembered to mute my window for LinkedIn, so I won't be hearing myself 10 seconds after the fact. Iceland, Melody, that's fantastic. Wonderful. Iceland is on my list. I'm a hobbyist photographer. And if you live in Iceland, and if you've ever gone out to any of the sites, you've probably seen all of the tourists with their tripods and their cameras taking photos of your amazing landscape. I'd like to be one of those annoying tourists one of these days. Country is absolutely breathtaking, and I can't wait to visit. Rasha from Jordan, I'm on. Wonderful, welcome. NYC, thanks for joining. Where's somebody else? France, Sandra in France, Christine in Chicago. Oh, Phil from Manchester, of course. We can't forget our friends in the UK. Jayberg, Charles in Johannesburg, wonderful. Haven't been there yet, but love to go. John in cold North Carolina. Snow. Yeah. Okay. You got a lot of snow in North Carolina the last little bit. Amy from SoCal. Hopefully you're fine in the fires. Amy, hope everything's okay. Laura, yes, in Boston. But of course, you would expect it to be snowy and cold in Boston. That's just kind of how it goes. But in the wintertime, boy, in Boston, my experience in Boston is the humidity and the wind. Once you get cold in Boston in the wintertime, in New England in general, this isn't just Boston, this is New England, but once you get cold, it's awfully hard to warm up. Like you got to get in a bath kind of thing to warm up. And maybe I'm just thin skinned. I mean, I'm Canadian, but I've lived in the US for a while now. Charlene from Trinidad and Tobago. Oh my gosh. That's another one on my list. I've never been there, but I would love to go. Hello from Mulberry, Georgia. Mary, nice to see you. Glad you could join today. Reading, Ian out of Reading. We have like three or four Prophecy employees in and around the Reading area, believe it or not. Great part of the UK, close enough to London, but still a little bit out there. I used to get to Bristol quite a bit way back in the day when the company I worked for, which is called AOL, America Online, bought a little internet company called CompuServe. And they were based out in Bristol, which is a beautiful part of the UK, Bristol and Bath, hills, green, lovely. Love it. Michael from Alabama, but from Toronto, the big smoke. another Canadian living in the U.S. All right. I think we've all given it enough time and greetings. Hey, thank you for being here. Please remember, this is interactive. There are, if you've got questions, let it rip. I would love to hear your questions. There's a Q&A tab in the Goldcast platform if you're at, logging in through Goldcast. Of course, if you're coming in through LinkedIn, just go ahead and put questions in there. Let's talk about MDM, Master Data Management, and the year that was, the current state of MDM. When I was an MDM analyst at Gartner, one of the last big pieces of research I did was called The State of MDM. And I published that in late 2020 or in early 2022, I should say. And it really kind of summarized my perspectives on all things MDM. And I've done one of these every year since leaving Gartner, because I think it makes sense to just kind of take stock and to provide some insights, an analyst level readout of what's going on. I travel a ton for industry conferences. I think I lost track of how many conferences I went to last year. I'm talking to Prophecy clients day in and day out. I'm talking to you day in and day out. I'm active on LinkedIn, as many of you know. I feel like I've got my pulse on the market here. I'm in the market. I'm talking to clients and people who I'm talking to people who are implementing. And I want to provide all that insight back. I'm lucky enough I get to travel the world. I get to talk to data leaders about what's happening with MDM. And this is my way of giving back and saying, hey, here's what's going on, all for the small price of checking out the Prophecy website. There is a registration process to get the document, but I think it's worth it. It's an 8,500 page, it's 8,000 plus words. So it's pretty dense. There's a lot there to chew on, but it's worth it. It's a great download. It's a great read. If you are passionate like I am about MDM. All right, where are we? What's the state? I consider the state of MDM to be strong. It's not extremely strong, but it's strong. MDM has been kind of the tortoise, if you want to compare it to a bunch of hares over the years. AI is the current hare. Big data was a hare for a while. I'm not talking about hair in our head, like hair like a rabbit, tortoise and hare. MDM just keeps plugging along. It just keeps plugging along. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9% growth rates every year, consistently year over year. There was a small blip in COVID where we only grew about 2%, 3% that year. But even in the depth of 2021, which was COVID, there was still growth in the MDM market. MDM software sales continue to plug along. I firmly believe, as I said before I left Gartner, the MDM has transitioned to a must-have and not a nice-to-have. And our slow and steady and consistent growth rates suggest that that is a valid viewpoint within the market. There are still companies that are coming into the MDM space. With prices coming down in software, with a general awareness of the importance of data foundations, with an increased awareness of the importance of data quality and data governance to some of the big picture things we need to do, like AI, and we're going to talk more about that. With that growing awareness, with the lowering of prices, with the awareness of more flexible approaches to MDM, like analytical styles of MDM to build 360 views, put all those things together. The MDM market is most certainly expanding. It's not expanding rapidly, but it is expanding. There are more companies coming in. There are, I would have said a few years ago that, you know, the kind of the bottom rung for companies starting an MDM journey would probably be north of $500 million in revenue. And I'm seeing now consistently companies in the $100 million, $200 million of revenue coming into the MDM space because there's value there, because the barriers to entry have come down. From a price perspective, from a complexity perspective, and companies just see the value. So the market is growing. The market is strong. It continues to plod along. It's not 30% growth. There are some vendors in the space that are experiencing high growth, like Prophecy. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But overall, the state of MDM, I would argue, is quite strong. That's the good news, right? I don't see the need for MDM going away anytime soon. I said this is one of my through lines in a conference presentation that I gave a few times last year. As long as our businesses provide, our customers provide flexibility for their functions like sales, marketing, finance, as long as there is some idea of federation and or decentralization in how our business units operate, as long as the way that sales looks at customers is slightly different than the way that finance looks at customers, As long as that is true, I would argue there will be a need for MDM. There will be a need for MDM. You can talk all day you want about a data mesh or about fully federated approaches to data management, and those are fine. Those are totally fine. I've got problems with mesh, but I'm not gonna rant on mesh today. Let's just talk about a federated data management approach. That's fine. That's great. Hey, do that. Knock yourself out. But if your CFO or your CEO asks, how many customers do we have? There's still only one answer to that question. One way to think about this, folks, is that the truth, what we call truth, the notion of truth is contextually bound. It is contextually bound, meaning what is true to sales may not be true to finance. There are multiple contexts in a business. A C-level view of the world is one of those contexts. So you can have multiple truths, but you need to manage them all. And so there is a single version of truth for each context. Every context should have a single version of truth. You could have a single version of truth that is supporting a sales function. You could have a single version of truth that is supporting the C-level function. Resolving the differences between them, resolving those differences and applying the governance practices to enable all of them to coexist happily together is where MDM is going. This is where MDM is now, I would argue, or it should be. Those approach, what I just described, describes a pretty modern and pretty advanced form of data governance. Most companies struggle with one set of business rules for how to define a customer. What I'm talking about here, folks, is multiple definitions of customer, all managed in one centralized hub. And yes, I said centralized. Not all centralization is bad. Ask any airline, ask any network architect. Not all centralization is bad. Central place to manage all these rules to allow you to federate your data. Both of these things coming together. Some centralization, some federation. That is the need for MDM. To be able to balance those worlds, as long as we need to balance those worlds, there will be a need for MDM. So MDM's not going away. I would argue MDM here is here to stay. Now, it's changing. It is most certainly evolving. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. I think one of the more, I don't know if disappointing is the right way to say this, because I don't think that's the right word. But I think one of the things that we're challenged with, and we have been challenged with for the last year, and this is something that I wrote in the document, which is I described it AI hype versus AI reality when it comes to MDM. I'm talking just about MDM here, AI hype versus AI reality. When ChatGPT exploded onto the scene, a lot of people were trying to figure out ways to kind of exploit that growth and drive people to buy software or consulting services or whatever. And it is 100% true. It is 100% true to say, if you want to extract the most value from AI, then you need to have a solid data foundation. That is a true statement. In and of itself, that is a true statement. However, something we've learned over the last couple of years, and I've been talking about this for almost all of those 2 years, it seems often that sometimes I'm kind of screaming into the abyss, which I do just kind of normally. I'm yelling around the yard. My neighbors must think I'm crazy. Something I've been saying is that generative AI, now this is not all AI, right? Let's divide it into two. Classic AI, machine learning, causal, doing even just advanced regressions, causal AI, machine learning, natural language processing, kind of AI classic. And then there's Gen AI. I'm talking about Gen AI. Gen AI is built on and optimized by text. Text, right? They built Gen AI off of looking at the internet, which is not necessarily a bastion of good data quality, by the way, you may know. What I'm trying to say here is that when you have data sitting in rows and columns, right, sitting in relational databases, which not all MDM platforms, all relational, but in essence, when you have highly structured, highly governed, highly managed data, that data in and of itself is not easily digested by Gen AI-based systems. So what we've seen is that over the last couple of years, a lot of folks were saying, hey, we need to go do MDM in order to enable Gen AI. It's not that simple. Yes, there are ways to use technologies like RAG patterns or vector databases or knowledge graphs to try to bring context to highly structured data. A knowledge graph on highly structured data will allow you to put the data into some form of triple, which gives more context, right? Malcolm lives Florida. That's better than having, you know, two entries and two tables with a join between them, right? Running a knowledge graph can help you bring some of that structure, but it doesn't necessarily go, or it can bring some of the context, but it doesn't necessarily go far enough. So what we've seen, the hype was, hey, MDM is going to help you become a Gen AI Jedi. That hasn't really come to pass because it could never come to pass because of what Gen AI needs versus what MDM does and what MDM is really, really good at. So that was something we've seen over the last year. Now, AI classic, machine learning, natural language processing, all day long. It needs good structured data. And there are some companies that are doing this. Nestlé Purina presented on a stage with them 2 years ago at the Gartner conference in Orlando, where we were talking about how Purina is putting structured master data in using it through their data lake, through Databricks, to enable data science use cases. This year in Orlando, we'll present a very, in partnership with our friends and our dear customers at Lexmark, we'll provide another example of that, where they are taking highly structured data out of MDM to enable ML-based use cases. So AI classic, including machine learning, it needs that good data. It needs trusted, consistent, and accurate data. So a lot of the hype that was around Gen AI, there's a lot to figure out there still, because Gen AI isn't going away. This would be something that I'll talk about here in a few minutes. Gen AI not going away. We need to figure that out. Classic AI, yeah, absolutely. MDM can make that much, much better. Instead of having data scientists or data engineers wrangling data in one-off pipelines or running custom Python scripts to do entity resolution, you can, and arguably for many, not all, but many AI use cases, including ML, you can leverage ML, you can leverage MDM for that, which is exactly what Purina is doing, which is exactly what Lexmark is doing. I'll show in Orlando. So there is value to be delivered using MDM to support AI use cases, but I'd still argue we're in very, very early days there. And here's a proof point. If MDM was a hard dependency to enable either of those MDM use cases, or I should say AI use cases, forgive me, I think we would have seen growth rates north of 20% over the last 2 years in MDM. We just haven't seen it. I do think that more companies will start to figure this out, but it's a little more complex than I think a lot of us anticipated a year ago or 2 years ago when ChatGPT exploded. Oh, I will take a breath and see if we have any questions came through. Hey, Scott. You're not supposed to be online. You're supposed to be having a margarita somewhere and chilling. I do believe my dearest friend, Scott Taylor, the data whisperer, is on vacation and probably shouldn't be online, but that's okay. Hello, my dear friend. I'm just looking for more questions. There is a question. Sorry, I have to scroll. From Danny. Techniques to do MDM differ as we are used to do MDM on structured data, but if you want to enable MDM, you need to be able to add context and also manage that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. This is part of the evolution of MDM, I would argue. I would argue MDM needs to evolve towards what I will loosely call knowledge management. A useful tool here, folks, if you're sitting at home, maybe if you're having trouble sleeping, and you ask yourself, Malcolm, what are you talking about? Knowledge management versus data management. Well, a useful tool here is this thing called the DIKW framework. Data, it's a pyramid. So just imagine a pyramid. Data is at the bottom, information, knowledge, wisdom. Forever and ever, we've been doing stuff on the bottom, data management. You know, this is the world of relational databases, rows and columns, where we are managing, you know, individual objects, customer, product, location, and on and on. What Gen AI needs is two levels up. It can run. It can do okay in information. So information is data plus context. Data plus context, that's a knowledge graph. Data plus context equals information. I would argue a knowledge graph is more information than knowledge, even though they call it a knowledge graph. Separate issue. Knowledge is the ability to apply information in a real world setting, right? So you can make a decision. Knowledge is making a confident decision about something, right? So where we need to get to support Gen AI use cases is be more focused on knowledge management, right? Where we are, and this is one of the trends. So this is a good segue. Thank you, Danny. This is a good segue into some of the key trends that we see in the MDM space. And one of them most certainly is what I would call, is there a right way to describe this? We're seeing a convergence. We're seeing a convergence in the data management space between MDM, data catalogs, metadata management solutions, or as Gartner is calling active metadata management solutions, whatever. Data catalogs, MDM, data quality, and data integration. We're seeing a bit of a convergence there. And there's a natural tension that is evolving there, and that I think is a good tension, which is some MDM providers are staying as pure play MDM, like Prophecy. That's all we do. We do MDM. We don't do data quality. We do some, right? MDM, there are 12 critical capabilities of MDM, which includes some data quality capabilities, some data integration capabilities, some data governance capabilities, some metadata management capabilities, right? So you got to do a little bit of all of that to do MDM, but those capabilities are not equivalent to what you would get from a freestanding data quality tool or a data integration tool or metadata management tool, right? So let's just think of it maybe on a spectrum of 0 to 10 when talking about data quality. 0 is you don't do any. 10 is you're an enterprise class on the Magic Quadrant, enterprise class data quality tool. MDM will get you to about a 6 or 7. So yes, we can do data quality, but we're not trying to be a 10, right? These pure play vendors like Prophecy and others, Gartner would say Reltio is a pure play vendor. Gartner would say potentially, well, maybe it's just us. It's Prophecy and Reltio that are real pure play MDM providers. They're not trying to be other things. One could argue that Cluedin is trying to be more of a platform because they've got data quality capabilities. They've got data integration capabilities. Samarkey, most certainly, you could argue they're trying to be more of a platform because they bought a data integration provider. They call their tool a platform, right? It's the XDM platform. So there are some that are trying to do all of it. And by it, I mean data management, become more of a platform. Of course, there's Informatica. Of course, there's IBM. Of course, there's Oracle. Of course, there's SAP. There's Atacama, right? They're trying to be more platform, right? They're trying to do all of it. And they want to try to sell you all of it as well. And then there are those like Prophecy that are trying to be pure play. We make no bones about it. We're very proud to be a pure play provider because that means all we do is MDM and all we focus on is MDM. I think Realty would probably say the exact same things. The tension, however, is between pure play and platform. I would argue that even the pure play providers need to have partnerships into data management platforms, which Prophecy does through its deep partnership with Microsoft. Reltio recently announced similar partnerships. Now they are trying to integrate to the Microsoft ecosystem, for example. And they had a legacy partnership with a few other cloud providers as well. But I would argue MDM needs to be plugged into those platforms because those platforms are where you will do the advanced analytics, like running knowledge graphs, right? Like standing up vector databases, like doing other stuff to turn data into information and knowledge, right? That's going to take some compute. That's going to take some analysis that wouldn't historically happen in an MDM hub. Because I would argue MDM hubs still need to be doing what they're best at, right? Because there are compute restrictions from things like entity resolution, because there are certainly governance decisions that need to be made, there are governance that need to be applied, it makes sense to keep MDM focused on MDM and MDM alone, because there's plenty of work to do there, and you don't necessarily want to muddy those waters by bringing in, for example, tons of transactional data into an MDM hub. Now we're getting into a little bit of best practices and MDM implementation, which is also part of the document. But I would argue as a best practice, you still want to keep that MDM hub as, for lack of a better word, pristine, perhaps just focused on data that is widely shared across the organization, where those other tools will be doing things like maybe even discovering profiling. For example, data catalogs do discovery and profiling reasonably well, but they're focused on everything, right? So those MDM providers, even the pure play ones, need to have partnerships into those data management ecosystems, like the Microsofts of the world, like the Databricks of the world, and on and on. So this is something that is happening in the market, right? There is this bifurcation happening of pure play versus platform providers. I would be, it's the right way to say this, even those that are focused on more of a platform, I think it's right to question, well, are you as a, let's just say a $100 million software company, like maybe like an Autocom, I think they're around there, maybe even a little bigger. They're a pretty big software company, but they're most certainly not an SAP. They're most certainly not an Informatica. They're most certainly not a Microsoft, right? So I think you could rightfully ask, right, should some of those advanced data management capabilities, is that the right vendor for me to be doing that stuff? Or is it Microsoft or an Amazon or a Databricks the right vendor to be doing that kind of stuff? But these worlds are coming together, and that's creating some confusion in the space. This is another one of the common themes that I had in the State of MDM. There is a decent amount of confusion in the space, right? What should I be doing in an MDM versus what should I be doing outside of an MDM? I gave one example, knowledge graphs. Knowledge graphs are awesome. They can tell you things about relationships that you didn't otherwise know about. That's valuable from an MDM. Take, for example, a household relationship. This is near and dear to a lot of banking companies. I want to better understand a household, right? Could you treat a household as a master data domain, as it were? Yeah, you most certainly could. But finding that information and understanding those complex relationships, I think you'll need a knowledge graph to do that. And you don't necessarily want to be running that as a process on an MDM hub. You want to probably be running that on an advanced analytical platform that's purpose-built for that. That's why you're going to need to have these MDM vendors are going to need to have these integrations into these platforms. So it's not necessarily an either or, but there are a lot of CDOs out there, a lot of CIOs who are worried, rightfully so, about lock-in to some of these giant platforms and about putting all their bets from a data management perspective into a single vendor. I've been in that position, and locking into a single vendor to do it all, there's a lot to be concerned about there. There's a lot to like. Most certainly there's a lot to like, right? Of having a single vendor, a single platform, having all those tools natively integrated. They almost never are. It's never as easy as the vendors make it sound, having all those things integrated. But there's an attraction there. I certainly get it. But there is still an attraction to having the agility, right? And this is one of the trends that I highlight in the document, is that pure play vendors like Prophecy and Realty and a small number of others are gaining market share because of the flexibility, because of the agility, because I can just turn this thing up and have it solve certain use cases, like maybe a cloud migration, right? Like I'm running SAP and I need to move data from, you know, legacy databases into an S/4HANA infrastructure. And I need a tool that can help me do that and does that incredibly well and sits as a bridge between the old and the new. MDM does that really well. Do you need to go and buy a platform to solve that use case? You don't. You don't. You can go buy a tool, a solution, as it were, that can be stood up relatively quickly, right, and solve that business need, which is still one of the preeminent MDM use cases, by the way. So this is another thing I touch on in the document, is if AI isn't driving meteoric sales of MDM software, what is driving sales of MDM software? Well, it's the same use cases that we've been talking about for years. I just mentioned one of them. I just mentioned, you know, cloud migration, ERP consolidation. I kind of put those into the same bucket, but maybe you're moving to the cloud. Maybe you're consolidating ERP platforms. About 25-30% of the companies that I talk to day in and day out, while a Gartner analyst, we're doing exactly that. So, you know, if you've got 20 ERPs and you need to come down or to find a way to virtually integrate them together at a data level instead of, you know, physically integrating them, MDM is a great tool to do that. Supply chain optimization, cross-sell, upsell, customer 360, the same things we've been talking about for years are still the main drivers of MDM adoption. They're still the main drivers. There are some companies, I've mentioned two of them, like Purina and Lexmark, that are figuring out the AI component from more of a classic AI perspective. But the good news here, at least from a vendor perspective, there's nothing really changed that much, I would argue, from the core use cases that are driving the need for MDM. So I will take another sip of my rapidly cooling coffee. So glad everybody could join. Let me reload my LinkedIn page and see what's going on. Oh, St. Louis. Hello, Mohirt. Hope you're staying warm. Oh, Kurt, agentic AI. How does MDM support agentic AI? Well, that's a really good question. I touched on that earlier. And there are two answers, I think, to that question. One is, today, the way to do that, and this is one of the key trends in MDM right now that I talk about in the State of MDM document. One of those is through the use of, let's just call them rather advanced prompts. This is retrieval augmented generation, RAG, which I would just call as a fancy prompt. That's a shout out to my friend Juan Sequeira, who thinks that MDM is a fancy integration. But I would argue a RAG is in essence a very, you know, complicated, fancy prompt. Structured data can most certainly be used in RAG patterns in order to better control for hallucinations, to provide more consistent, accurate, and trustworthy results from agent-based Gen AI solutions. So that's the short answer to the question, right? I think that MDM data, master data can be consumed within a complex prompt where you are asking a rather constrained question to say, if you take this to be true, if these are our customers, then tell me something about these customers. An example of that would be some of the copilots that are used within analytics applications like a Power BI, right? Behind the scenes, what's happening there is you are saying, here's a known fact set, here are our customers, and here's the data related to the customers. Now tell us something about them. MDM could be a critical component in those types of highly advanced prompts where there are multiple agents that are running out and executing more complex research tasks, for example, to make some conclusions about the nature of maybe your customer relationships or your supplier relationships. So does MDM play a role there? Yes, it does, but you have to be pretty good at doing complex RAG patterns, right? And if you're not, well, that's a problem. This is something that I would urge all of us in the data management space to get more comfortable with, which is the idea of implementing more complex prompts. How do you influence Gen AI-based agents to limit hallucinations and to improve the consistency and accuracy of the results? That's one way to do it. But what we've seen, what the data tells us, folks, is that very few companies actually are doing that. There was a survey last year from New Vantage Partners, which is Randy Bean and Tom Davenport were involved in that, where they were talking about only around 5% of companies have highly customized deployments of Gen AI in production. I would include RAG in that. Maybe I'm wrong. Most of Gen AI usage is happening at the desktop by what people would otherwise call perhaps shadow IT. And I don't think that's the right way to describe that. I think what's happened, and I described this also in the State of MDM document, what's happened is that companies just got tired of waiting for CDOs and CIOs to build them customized Gen AI solutions. They got tired of waiting. They got tired of waiting for guidance on AI governance. So people just started using it. And companies just started using it. Some companies established some rough guidelines, like, for example, only use our OpenAI tenant running in Azure so that our queries aren't, you know, our prompts aren't going off into the ether and that, you know, we're not, all of our proprietary information that we may be including in some of these complex prompts isn't being used to train the models. So they may have put some rough kind of boundaries, some guardrails, but most companies, most usage in most companies, 70 to 80%, depending on if you're asking PwC, McKinsey, there's been study after study that is showing that 70 to 80% of companies are using Gen AI widely. Engineering, development. I don't know a software engineer that isn't using Copilot or some sort of Copilot in whatever, you know, engineering environment that you're using. HR, absolutely. Writing job descriptions, reviewing job descriptions, marketing, writing marketing copy. like and on and on, even procurement, people in procurement are using Gen AI to evaluate and do things like, you know your supplier. And is this a real company? Is this a legitimate company? So Gen AI is being used extensively out there. That's not going to change. We need to catch up. We as data leaders most certainly need to catch up. Doug Kimball, good to see you, my friend. Hope things are staying warm in Oklahoma. I'll be next door this weekend down in Austin at Day to Day Texas. If you're going to be there, let me know. MDM Hub, maybe I missed it. This would be referring to as the platform. Is an MDM Hub a platform? No, it's a, let's just call it a solution. What I'm calling here a platform is multiple pieces of the data management puzzle. And what do I mean by data management? It's the classics. Data integration, data quality, master data management, metadata management / data governance. You can even put classic BI analytics platforms into there, but that's kind of classic data management. When I say the word platform, it's somebody trying to sell you all that stuff. All of that stuff. I would argue that what, you know, what Prophecy has, what Reltio has, is more of an MDM solution, but they are still running, it's still a hub architecture. All MDMs are still running on hub architectures, even those that say they are focused on mesh and fabric-like or federated architectures. They're still, it's still a hub. Taylor, is there a desire expectation that AI will eliminate all data management work activities? At what point will AI become the trusted context above all else for structured data? Wow. That's a good question. I guess it depends on who you're asking. I'm going to take a little bit of a provocative stance here, and I'm going to say that in sometime in the future, MDM will be augmented to the point of near automation in the future. 10 years? I don't know. But there's a slide that I share in a lot of my presentations where it is a spectrum starting at, you know, over here in the left, zero augmentation, right? All human driven. Over on the right, full automation, right? Somewhere we go from, you know, zero, all humans, to a state of augmented MDM. So this was something I introduced as a critical capability for MDM in 2021 in the last magic quadrant. You've got to now support augmented MDM. What does that mean? That just means using AI to support the management and configuration and administration of MDM solutions. That's what augmented MDM is. It's just doing whiz-bangy things to help automate and augment the care and feeding of MDM, right? So that's augmented MDM. But at a certain point, if you play the tape forward, if you kind of look forward, augmentation will start to become automation. So let's take something like data modeling, for example. Do I believe that you could largely automate data modeling? 100%. Yep, absolutely. There are data modelers out there that are probably like, no. You know, come to a conference and we'll share a beer and have a great conversation. Well, not the same beer. We'll each have a beer. Well, you can have whatever you want, but I'll have a beer. And we'll have a conversation about whether data modeling can be automated. I think it can be, right? Look at other capabilities that are intrinsic to MDM. Data stewardship. Could you automate that? Mostly? Probably? Mostly? I don't think you'd want to automate all of it. I mean, I think you'd still need to have a human in the loop, as it were, but I think you could mostly automate it. Data integration, could you automate that? Yeah, we're already working on that. Like, Prophecy's already working on that, right? Source, target, you know, like, and automate the mapping between the two. Could you do that? Yeah, I think you could. I mean, so if you just kind of break it down and start looking, and I could keep going, but I won't bore you with all the MDM critical capabilities, but if you start to look at all of them, workflow management, same thing. Could you automate that? I think you could. I think you could. So is that today? No. Is that next year? No. Is it 3 years from now? No. But we're on that path, Taylor. We are absolutely on that path. And I would argue that's okay. That's okay. Because what will happen here, and this is a good metaphor here, is maybe like the freeway system, the roads wherever you live. I don't know where you live, but every time they build a new road, it just allows more cars. And the traffic is right back to where it was within a few months. So we may be able to do more and automate more in MDM. All that means is that we're going to be able to support more. Because here's another key trend that I talk about in the state of MDM. We need to get into knowledge management. We need to get into applying MDM like disciplines to unstructured data. We need to start looking in the SharePoint servers of our marketing friends and start looking at those documents and saying, is the stuff that you're saying actually true? Like, could we support that use case? Could we deploy a data steward to start reviewing? There's organizational components here that I don't think we've really kind of thought. I haven't thought through. We need to figure out. But if today we are reviewing a customer record for validity, maybe we're sending it over to Dun & Bradstreet, and that's deemed necessary, I would argue that it is, or a supplier record or an asset record or whatever it is, could you start looking at more unstructured data that uses that customer data somehow to describe something or to describe a customer or to give customers a specific, you know, set of instructions on how to install their widget that they just bought, right? This is the Air Canada use case. If you guys were paying, you know, listening to the news where Air Canada got sued because a chatbot gave incorrect information. Well, how do we make sure that that information is correct? Yes, just like MDM, optimally, you want to do it at the source. You want to make it correct from day one. That's the right way to do it. But we're all human, we make mistakes, and we all have different definitions of things. We have different perspectives on things, and our policies change all the time. I think that we would want to evolve MDM to a place where we could apply MDM-like disciplines to all of that unstructured data to be able to say, yes, it's accurate, no, it's not, or we're not entirely sure, we need to kick it over to a data steward. So I do believe, Taylor, that we will automate a lot of MDM, but in doing that, we will open the door to increase the scope of our programs, to start looking at other forms of data we really need to look at that we've largely been ignoring forever. We'll have to work out how to collaborate with people that are building PDFs, Word docs, just Word docs. How would you apply MDM to every Word doc created in your organization? That's an interesting thought exercise. Do you need to? I would argue you would. Because if you're feeding that data, if that data is being used to train chatbots that are helping you automate your business processes, well, I think you'd want to apply some of the same core processes that we do today in MDM to make sure that information is trustworthy and accurate and consistent for that use case or for potential use cases. So this is kind of some of the trend related stuff. This is where we need to go, I would argue. I'm not fearful of automation in the MDM space, because I know that the more we automate some of the classic stuff, data modeling, maybe even matching, some of the integration patterns and the definitions, defining and managing hierarchies, like classic hierarchies, the more we automate that stuff, the more we figure that out, there's this whole other world over here that we need to go figure out. And like there's gold in them there hills. Gold, I would argue. Can you tell I'm passionate about my job? People are like, yeah, this guy needs a break. All right, thanks. I hope that makes sense, Taylor. I hope it does. I'm looking at more of the question. Luis, I overlooked your question. My apologies. How can we connect MDM to business value and give the users quick wins to prove that value? Technology is not the... Well, you're right about that. Technology is never a panacea. It's never a panacea. You're absolutely right about that. This question is as old as MDM is old. We've always wrestled with the idea of business value. This is something we absolutely positively need to get better at. We, as MDM practitioners, need to better understand our customers and their processes and their data. We need to better understand their KPIs. We know what ours are. Ours are more accurate data. Ours are the removal of those null fields. Ours are better matching of our customer supplier records. We know what our KPIs are, but we need to link those KPIs to their KPIs. So I had a LinkedIn post about this a little while ago. I called it the business value pyramid, where I describe at a high level how you could go about linking business KPIs to data KPIs. And I'll give you an example. If you, for example, improved the accuracy of your customer data by 5%, would that have a positive impact on your ability to sell more? Would it limit the number maybe of customer returned goods, or would it increase their customer satisfaction? Would it increase their customer retention? I think the answer to all those questions is yes, right? You need to sit down with people in your finance organization. Maybe it's an organization called FP&A, Finance Planning and Analysis, and come up with some models to start estimating. And this yes is an estimate. How improvements of data will drive improvements in business processes. This is an imperfect science. There is more we could do here around building some causal models. We can actually use AI to help us solve this problem. But that connection can be a very basic one to start, where you say something to the effect of, hey, reducing duplicate customer records should reduce the incidences of return products that we have, or should make our sales organization more effective. It will increase our sales close rates by 5%, perhaps. Because instead of having three sales reps contacting the same customer, now you're only going to have one sales rep contacting that customer. It'll be more efficient. So you need to start modeling some of these things. You need to start estimating some of these things. That's how you could make a basic connection. There are more advanced connections when we start talking about building more advanced correlations between improvements in data and improvements in business processes. If you've got a data science function, perhaps they can help you with that. Can we get to the point of actual causality? That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work, I would argue, but it's not necessary. We've got business functions like marketing, for example, that run entirely on models, that run entirely on these attribution models that are based on correlation and not causation. Is spending $1 in marketing driving $1 in revenue in the bank? Probably. But we build models to try to attribute marketing activities to the delivery of value. The same can be true in the data management space. How are data management activities like MDM and data quality and data integration, how are they linked to better business performance? That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And we just, honestly, as an industry, we really struggle with that. We have for a long time, but it's not that hard. It's not that hard. I would argue it's not that hard. You could be saying, well, easy to say, but harder to do. But that is the high-level answer to the question, Luis. And thank you for asking it. But this is something that I post about on LinkedIn all the time. All the time. And I've got a couple of different models that I like. I've got a couple of different frameworks. I really love something known as a business value driver, a driver model, a driver map, right? To understand how data can be linked to core business processes. So Google a driver map or value map. That could be a good way to start to conceptualize or visualize how data is sitting under kind of the core business processes that your business is literally running on. And if we improve that data, we necessarily are going to improve those processes. It's just finding out how to make that connection. And a driver map can help you with that. Looking at some of the questions. Quantify. John, I you know I'm speaking your language. Let's talk about, I talked about some of the key trends, RAG patterns, chatbots, copilots. I talked about managing unstructured data, applying MDM to unstructured data. That is going to be an evolving trend. Not a lot of people are talking about it today, I will admit, but that will most certainly be an evolving trend. Cloud migrations, yes, it's not slowing down. Oh, data products, our beloved data products. I am a believer in data products with a caveat. I'm a believer in data products when they are produced by an organization that has embraced product management. I would argue a deep embrace of the tenets of product management is what is needed to take a data product focus. If you're out there and if you've shifted all the way left, right? So this is something I've got a diagram. I call it the data product spectrum. Maybe I've posted on LinkedIn in the past. If you're interested in looking at it, let me know. But where there's this kind of shift left versus shift right. Shift left is the data mesh. It's kind of more of a data engineering focus, where the data products, I would argue, aren't really products. They're more raw materials, right? The shift right is a finished good that somebody would be willing to pay for, that's solving a specific problem. You got to do all of it. You've got to be good at managing raw materials. You've got to be good at managing data pipelines and doing integrations and doing ETL and doing data quality. You got to be good at that. And then you've got to be good at product management, being rabidly focused on customer success. That one's for you, Lori. Being rabidly focused on customer success, right? That is what's needed, I would argue. And yes, this is true in an MDM world. This is absolutely true in an MDM world. Do I know my business, my customers' business processes as well or better than they know them? Do I know how master data is being used, created, or consumed within an organization? Do I know the value that it drives? And on and on. That's a customer focus. That's product management. We need more of that, my friends. We need more of that. Shifting left, great. Go ahead, shift left. But if you're just looking at data products through the lens of exposing a object in a data catalog, well, I don't know what business problem that solves. I don't. Because what'll happen is you'll give access to that data catalog. Somebody will search for customer, and what they'll see is 4,000 things that say customer. That's not a customer focus. That's like sitting down to eat at the Cheesecake Factory and having a 200-page menu and not knowing what anything is. Well, maybe you do because there's big pictures, but you get my point. Just having a data catalog with 4,000 entries when I search customer, I mean, that's not driving a ton of value, I would argue. You need it to get to the point of value. You need to inventory your data to get to the point of value. But just exposing it in this giant menu of stuff, that's not helping that much. Other trends. Augmented MDM, I already talked about this. This is growing and growing. This is one of the levers that MDM vendors were using increasingly to differentiate. If there is a resurrection of the Gartner Magic Quadrant, I believe that augmented MDM will be one of the key ways that Gartner evaluates the differences between vendors, the degree to which those vendors are embracing AI as a means to automate the management of master data, the administration of master data, things like creating hierarchies and managing hierarchies and modeling data and building hierarchies. More and more and more, you will see vendors like Prophecy, because we are focusing on this stuff because it's valuable. It's valuable. It'll help your MDM program scale, which is always what MDM has really been about. MDM software has been about scale. I do see one of the trends of switching vendors. I saw a lot of companies last year switching vendors, saw a lot of them moving away from kind of some of the bigger, bulkier providers to some of the smaller, more agile, more nimble providers, specifically to solve certain use cases, right? I mentioned one of them, cloud migrations, ERP consolidations. Those are two very specific use cases. Another one is supplier optimization. That's a specific use case that you don't need to go and spend millions and millions and millions with SAP to solve, right? Even if you are using MDG, which is SAP's MDM product, you can go and buy a standalone, pure play MDM solution like a Prophecy or a Reltio and solve that problem pretty darn quickly. And you don't have to wait months and months and months and months and months for your SAP consultants to figure it out. If you're an SAP consultant, it's just not being negative, because you're making a good living. It's just those things take time in SAP. I already talked about some of the vendor trends for sure. I talked about, you know, kind of pure play versus platform play. You know, competition on pricing, it is still a very, very big thing. I talked about the use of AI to automate and augment data management, data classification, data administration, absolutely going to be a thing. MDM and data catalog integration, this is going to continue. Because there's just natural synergies there between MDM and data catalogs, right? Lineage, profiling, discovery, right? MDM needs to know about that stuff to the degree that it is widely shared, right? If there's data that is being widely shared across the organization and you discover that through a profiling exercise with a data catalog, well, then your MDM needs to be managing that data, needs to be applying consistent rules and policies to that data. That is MDM. That is the discipline of MDM. So there's a natural synergy there between data catalogs and MDM. And if you are searching for MDM, one of the first things that you should ask that vendor is, do you natively integrate to a enterprise class data catalog? And if the answer is we can versus we do, these are two very different answers, my friends. These are two very different answers. all software applications these days, you can basically integrate anything to anything. There are externally facing APIs on everything. Right? So can I go hand roll an integration to Calibra from anything? Yeah, I can. It'll take you a while. You can do it. But the ability to integrate to is very different than the ability of being integrated with. These are very different things. And if you are looking at MDM, you need to add, and you are serious about a data catalog as well, because I would argue these are two peas in a pod. You're going to need both to solve your problems. You need an MDM provider that is deeply integrated with a data catalog. And this is a big challenge for the Atlans and Alations and Calibras of the world. Yes, they can integrate to just about anything, but there's a ton of work to do that. Ton. What else? I talk about an alternative name for master data. This is something that's been batted around for a while. I'm open. I'm totally, totally open. I think Gartner really needs to lead the charge here. If we are going to change the name of master data to something else, which I'm totally open to because I understand the baggage there, I think Gartner needs to be the one setting the tone. And because the vendors are not going to follow unless Gartner is doing it. Because for any one vendor to take action on their own is an extremely risky thing. There are so many things to think about here as a vendor, like search engine optimization, just marketing effectiveness, marketing spend, and you're out there calling it X and everybody else is calling it Y, you're going to be far less efficient from a marketing perspective and a pipeline generation perspective. So it's going to be really hard for any one vendor to be able to say, okay, I'm going to change master data management to something else. Gartner needs to lead the way here. And if anybody's listening, my friends at Gartner, you got to lead the way because the market will follow. The market will follow. But for any one vendor to do it alone is way too tall in order. But if we ever did change the name, you know what I like? I like shared data. The only problem with shared data is all master data is shared, but all data that is shared is not necessarily master data. So there's one little hiccup there. But I love shared data as a way to describe master data. I know you like core data, Scott. I know you like it, but it just makes me think of like an 8-minute abs, right? Core, like just, I don't know. Takes me back to the 80s. I could be convinced otherwise. Buy me a beer or five. Cover why Gartner doesn't have the MQ anymore. Well, Gartner got rid of the MQ and I was there when it happened and I was part of that decision because Gartner believes that MDM is a fully mature space, which I'd spent the first 10 minutes describing what could best be described as a mature space, where it is a must-have, where it is slow growing, 7, 8, 9, 10% every year. It's not meteoric growth. You've got to have it. It's a part of any modern data ecosystem. You've got to have it. That's mature. However, I would argue that the integration of AI has changed the game and that AI is resetting the playing field. And when you couple that with advances that are happening within data management platforms, like the Fabric from Microsoft, this may be the first time it took me 57 minutes to say Fabric. That could be a record, folks. I would argue that it justifies resurrection of the Magic Quadrant. I would argue that strongly. Since COVID, more companies recognize the need to be data-driven. Can you talk about data domains for MDM, specifically the non-standard ones? Well, there's a lot. Let's take that offline. Maybe I can make that a LinkedIn post. Or maybe you could come to the next installment of CDO Matters Live, which we do the third week of every month. I do this live the third week of every month where we talk about, where we kind of have a more just an open discussion. But there's a lot of non-standard domains. Now, you could argue if you're starting an MDM, you need to probably stick to the classics, right? Because that's where the value is going to be. Customer, supplier, asset, location, material, product. Probably need to stick to the classics if you're just starting out. But if you're more advanced and you're getting into kind of like MDM 201, MDM 301, 401, advanced theories of MDM, yeah, we should probably be talking about more standard domains. But I'm sorry, Mary, I kind of danced around your question. We're coming up on the hour. I mentioned we do this third week of every month. Please check out prophecy.com. You'll see how to navigate to download the state of MDM. I did make a post on this morning on LinkedIn, but it is a very, very shortened, abridged version of some of my key takeaways. Connect with me on LinkedIn if we're not already connected. DM me on LinkedIn, right? We can talk about some of these things. We can have a discussion about some of the things we were talking about. If you've got more questions that weren't answered here, connect with me on LinkedIn. Come to my live event the third week of every month. Subscribe to my newsletter. I do this for a living, folks. Thank you so much for attending today. I'm thrilled that you took an hour out of your day to be with me. And I will see you on another episode of the CEO Matters Live podcast sometime soon. Bye for now. Thanks all.